We praise the Lord for bringing us back here this morning to worship Him and to study His words. This morning I would like to read with brother and sister a passage in the second epistle of Peter. Can we all turn to 2 Peter chapter 1? We'll read a longer passage, okay? I think every time when we read the Bible, it's kind of it's a blessing. It really is a blessing. Some brothers and sisters, some brothers can read one verse and can speak on it for the whole message. And I can't do that. You know, that's my style. I would like to read a longer passage, and we'll read it with, we will share within the context of that passage, okay? Let's start with verse 1, okay? Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the kingdom, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and by His virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, let's stop here, okay? This is the passage I would like to share with you, brothers and sisters. Most importantly, the last verse that we just read. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now this verse, if you read it carefully, it really is a challenge to every one of us. The reason why I said that, this is a challenge to every one of us, you know, read this very carefully. There are at least two things in this verse which are really a challenge to us. It says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first thing that I would like you to think about is this phrase here. It says, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here it talks about an everlasting kingdom. Brother and sister, ask ourselves this question. How real is this everlasting kingdom to you? How real is it? This is the challenge I would like every brother and sister to think about this morning. How real is this everlasting kingdom to you? Is it just for something good to say on the pulpit? Is it something just we think about and talk about in the church? As soon as we left the door of the church, all this about the everlasting kingdom, just we left it behind in the church. The rest of the time in the week, we just busy about our business. Never ever thought about the everlasting kingdom. Brother and sister, is there anything in this world that's everlasting? I think we all agree, nothing in this world is everlasting. Right? Even the whole world can one day change. When we think about the everlasting kingdom, we think about Canada. We know Canada may not be everlasting. We think about Vancouver. We think about the Canucks, right? Those are real to us. The everlasting kingdom? Come on, okay? Nice to know, but is it real to you? That's the challenge I would like you to think about this morning. Is the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is this everlasting kingdom real to you and to me? Number one. Number two, challenge yourself this. It says here, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. An entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. Is this real to you? Or is it something nice to know? And that's it. Is it real? Ask yourself these two questions. Is the everlasting kingdom real to me? Is the entrance, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. Is this real to me, brother and sister? That's what we need to think about. Lots of time when we think about Christian, we think about, oh, it's a good lifestyle. Something, Christians have a higher moral, it's better person. That's why I want to be a Christian. Oh, and also, when I believe in the Lord, one day I will go to heaven. Is that all to it? Is this real? The everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is this real? Entrance supplied to you abundantly, is this real to you? Brother and sister, that are facts of this affects every day of our life. If this is not real to us, no wonder we just go our ordinary life and no different than the non-believers. But if this is real to you, it affects your daily life. Because you have a higher goal, a higher calling. Brother and sister, this is what we need to talk about this morning. In verse 12, it says, therefore, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Peter was just reminding us. When we talk about reminding, that means it's not something new. We already know about it. We just tend to forget about it. And we didn't pay attention to it. Therefore, we need reminder. Verse 13, yes, I think it's right as long as I'm in this tent to stir you up by reminding you. Second time he used the word reminding. And in verse 15, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things. You know, three times Peter saying, we need to be reminded and reminded and reminded. Because look, we are very forgetful people. We try to explore things that are new, that are unusual, that are great. But things that we already know, we tend to not pay attention to it. And therefore, we need to be reminded. And that's why chapter 1, the words that we just read from verse 1 to 11, there's nothing new in them. But yet, Peter said we need to be reminded. Okay? So, brother and sister, think about this. Think about this, okay? We need to be reminded about an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, brother and sister, let's go back to the very beginning of this passage. And as a matter of fact, the Lord has been putting a burden in me for quite a while now, which I already shared with you last time as well. The blessings that God has given Christians, the blessings that God has given you and me. You know, if we truly understand and appreciate the blessings that God has given us, we will really need to bow and worship God. You know, the blessing that God has given us is not about the material thing of this world. The blessings that God has given us, last time we read from Ephesians chapter 1, is heavenly and is spiritual. Brothers and sisters, so often we think about things of this world, that these tangible things of this world are so real and so important to us. But the Bible never asks us to be worried, never to be worried about things of this world. On the contrary, the Lord has taught us. He said, pray for the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, referring to these tangible things of this world, will be added to you, will be given to you. You don't even need to pray about them. God will give them to you. Another way to think about it is, if God created this universe, is there anything in this world that is so hard for Him to give you? No. If He created the whole universe, then things of this world can be given to you freely by the Lord. So the blessings that we are talking about is not of this world. It's not something that is tangible or something you can see and touch. It is heavenly and it's spiritual. And that's why it's so important. You know, in these couple of verses, in verses 3 and 4, it reminds us about the blessings that God has given us. What has He given us? Verse 3, it says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Brother and sister, think about this verse. God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, let me, brother and sister, change the wording a little bit to contrast what it actually said in the Bible, to emphasize what really the Bible is talking to us. Now, if the Bible has said, okay, verse 3, as His divine power has given to us life and godliness. Nothing wrong with that, right? God has given us life and godliness. But the Bible didn't say it that way. The Bible said God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. So what is the difference? The difference is huge. We know that God has given us life. This life refers to the everlasting life, the eternal life that God has given us, right? Because John 3:16, we all know this verse very well. For God so loved the world, that whoso believe in His name shall be saved and receive eternal life. So we believe, right? So we have eternal life. Pretty clear cut, right? God has given us life. God also has given us godliness. Because, think about this way. When God created us, when God created man, the Bible said we were created in His image. So we have His likeness, right? Godliness, simply put, means godly, godlike. Godliness is godlike. It's like God, right? So we are all created in the image of the Lord. We are all created in His likeness. So we have godliness in us. Especially when the eternal life of our Lord Jesus Christ has entered into us, we have this godliness. But the Bible didn't stop that way. Okay, it says, God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not just life and godliness. The Lord knows that, yes, we have the position that we have eternal life in us. But in order to fully experience and enjoy this eternal life, it needs more than just having the life, right? So, no different than today, you have a life, right? But do you have the quality of the life that you're supposed to have? Having life and having a quality life is different. Similarly, we all have eternal life. To enjoy and experience this eternal life is different than just having eternal life. You need more than just eternal life. And that's why this is such a blessing when the Lord said, He has given to us all things that pertain to life. Not just life, but all things that pertain to life. In other words, all that is required to experience and enjoy this eternal life has been given to us. The power to experience life has been given to us. The joy that can experience this eternal life has been given to us. The ability to experience, to live out this life has been given to us. We will expand on this later. But it's not just life, but all things that pertain to life that God has already given us. In other words, there's no reason to live a poor eternal life. This is contradictory. You cannot have a poor eternal life. But a lot of Christians, what they have demonstrated is a poor eternal life. A miserable eternal life. That's not what God wants us to experience. God wants us to enjoy the fullness of this eternal life. Similarly, God has given us His likeness. That's why we have this godliness in us. But when you look at Christian life today, a lot of time you see long faces. A lot of time you see a lot of worries, a lot of sadness. Why? Because we do not understand that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We put a lot of emphasis in obtaining eternal life and godliness, but we fail to realize that not only did the Lord give us life and godliness, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Brother and sister, what a blessing. What a blessing. God did not just give us a poor and miserable eternal life. God gave us all things pertaining to this life and godliness. Praise the Lord. This is something that's beyond our comprehension. If we try to design a salvation to give men, we'll never be able to design such a complete and full salvation. You know, God is a God of wisdom. When He gives us salvation, He not just gives us life and godliness, He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Brother and sister, therefore, there's no reason to be weak in our life and in our experience of His godliness. This is the blessing that the Lord has given us, and that's what Peter was trying to remind us. In this fourth verse, God has also given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. It did not just say God has given us promises. In case we do not realize how much blessing this promise came with, it says, it describes this promise as exceedingly great and precious promises. Brother and sister, true, God has given us a lot of promises. But if we read it within the context of this message, this passage, okay, brother and sister, we can realize Peter was referring to a very specific promise. This promise is the verse 11 that we were told. For so an entrance will be given or supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, this is the promise that Peter was referring to. And this promise is so real. If you read verse 16, okay, same chapter. 16 it says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. This is not cunningly devised fables. These are not. These are real. We are eyewitnesses. When we talk about the exceeding we are talking about the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord, we talk about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another point that I would like to raise, brother and sister, in these two verses is these two little words. God has given to us. Brother and sister, it is not something that we are only able to hope for in the future. No, God has already given us these blessings. In other words, it is not something that we just hope for. But on the contrary, it's something that we can experience today. Dear brother and sister, those little words God has given to us are so precious. It is something you can enjoy and experience today. You know, one of the pity about a Christian is, you know, we always think about God's blessing being something in the future. It's not something that we can enjoy today. But brothers and sisters, if you read the Bible carefully, the blessings that God has given us is something that we can enjoy and experience today. There's no reason to have a weak and miserable Christian life. No reason for that. You know, God has given us so much blessings and gifts, and it is for today's use. It's for today's enjoyment. Brother and sister, let us stand up and declare boldly that we are victorious people. We are blessed people. We can experience the blessings of the Lord today. That's very important. That's why when I said in the very beginning, let's be challenged of the word of the Lord. Let's be challenged. When he said, there is an everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is not something in the future. This is something today we can experience. And an entrance has been supplied to us abundantly to enter this kingdom. And it is today, something we can experience today. And that's why Christians should be so victorious in our life, brothers and sisters. That's why I have such a burden this morning to share this with every one of us. Let's not just drag our feet, you know, as a Christian. No, we should be joyful and we should be excited about the blessing that God has given to us. That's real blessing. Not only that God has given us these exceedingly great promises and blessings. How did he do it? If we know how he did it, then we cannot belittle the blessing that God has given us. We do not treat it as something that is trivial. No, it's not trivial if you know how God accomplished this. Number one, in verse 3 it says, as his divine power has given to us all this. He gave us all this blessing by his divine power. It is not like casually give it to us. No, it's not something that's casual. It's by his divine power. You know, when God did something by his divine power, it's something that's mighty, that's great, that's important. By his divine power, he has given us all these blessings. So let's not think that this is trivial. It's not, okay? Secondly, in the same verse, it says, through the knowledge of him who calls by his glory and by his virtue. Brothers and sisters, when he calls, when he gives us all his blessings, and it is by his glory and by his virtue. When it is given to us by his glory and by his virtue, brothers and sisters, this is no small matter. We should not think that this is something that's casual. No, it's not. Thirdly, in verse 1 it says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He has given this to us by his righteousness. Brother and sister, think about this. How did he accomplish this to us? If he accomplished this by his divine power, by his glory and by his virtue, and by his righteousness. Brothers and sisters, these are no small matter. Today, we seem to think that things of this world are more important to us. Our job, our career, our future, this seems to be more practical. When we talk about all things that pertain to life and godliness, it's so abstract. When we talk about the exceeding great and precious promises, it's so far away. Brothers and sisters, that's our mentality, unfortunately. But today, let's be reminded by the epistle of Peter. These are not small matters. These are not something that's far away. This is something that you can feel, you can touch today in your real life. Because God accomplished this with his great divine power, with his glory and his virtue, and by his righteousness. These are not small matters. When God created this universe, I believe God created this by his word. When God created the things of this world in 6 days, it's by the word of his mouth. When God created you and me, it's by his hand. When God given us all these blessings, spiritual and heavenly blessings, it is by his divine power,
by His glory and by His virtue and by His righteousness.
These are greater than His creation of this universe, brothers and sisters. If we think that the creation of the whole universe is great and tremendous, how much more is His blessings that He has given to us? If we think this is little, we will go into this later on. If you think this is little, it's because we are lacking the knowledge. We do not know our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, why did God do all this? Why did God do all this? In verse 4, He gave us a small glimpse into the reason why He did this was, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature. That's what the Lord is trying to accomplish in us, that we be partakers of His divine nature. What does it mean? What does it mean? It's very similar it's a similar chain of thought as Paul described in Romans chapter 8, to conform to the likeness of His Son, to conform to the image of His Son, chapter 8 of Romans. It is the same thought throughout the epistles of Paul and the epistle of Peter. This same thought kind of throughout the epistles. Here it says that we are partakers of His divine nature. Using Paul's word, we are conformed to the image of His Son. It is the same thought. And that is, the glory of the Lord can be revealed in each and every one of us. That's what the Lord wants to see. Recently in the Adults Chinese Fellowship Friday night, we just finished studying the book of Genesis. You know, Genesis is a book, very interesting book. On the surface, it's a book of history. On the surface, it's about the life of 8 people. Adam, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Okay? It's talk about the life of these 8 people, right? But at the end of Genesis, what you see is death, coffin. If all these 8 people are, we call them very glorious people, right? But at the end of the book of Genesis, what we see is death, the death of Jacob, the death of Joseph, and the burial of the 2 of them, right? Brother and sister, if all that we learn from the book of Genesis is death and burial and coffin, then what hope is there? We said, Genesis is a book of hope. On one hand, if you look at people's life, it's only death, only burial. That tells us the work of sin and the corruption of sin in man's life. Ever since men fail, ever since Adam and Eve fail, death rule over all men. That is our destiny. Death is our destiny. But through the book of Genesis, we see that God has a greater plan for us. God has a greater plan. God has a salvation prepared for us. When we read these 8 characters, we see the 8 aspects of this glorious salvation. Salvation is not just bring us back to the Garden of Eden. A lot of people think that salvation is bring us back or restore us to the time of the Garden of Eden. No, salvation is more than that. Salvation takes us to heaven. Salvation takes us to the throne of the Lord. Just like what through Joseph we learn, salvation takes us to the throne of the Lord. Salvation does not just take us back to the Garden of Eden. It's more glorious than that. Brother and sister, when Peter reminds us about all these things, he tells us that God's intention is through these things, you may be partakers of the divine nature of God. It's no different than what Paul said. We are to conform to the image of his Son. The glory of God is to be demonstrated through us, through his church. You know, so a lot of time we think that salvation is for us. Brother and sister, think about this. Salvation, God accomplished salvation, has his eternal purpose in it. It's more to do with God's glory than you and me. We are so self-centered people. We think of everything for us. Even salvation is for us. And we never stop and think about what is it that the Lord wants from us. Salvation is to have God's glory to be revealed in this whole new universe, this new heaven and new earth. That's what God wants to see. The tabernacle of God dwell among men is to have the testimony of the Lord of God with us. This is what God wants. It's not just because God feels sorry for us and therefore he gave us salvation. No. It's more glorious than that, brother and sister. What is this divine nature? It says here, we may be partakers of the divine nature of God. What is this divine nature? If we study verses 5 to 7, it talks about eight things here. It talks about faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. All these things. A lot of people spend a lot of time studying all this. Eight things, okay? I think they are very important. No, I'm not saying they're not important. Faith is very important. What is faith? Faith is a gift from God. We don't have faith. Verse 1, it says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Here it describes the faith. It's something that we obtain. In other words, we don't have it before. We didn't have it. So God has given us this precious faith. Okay? Not only given us this precious faith, God has given us virtue. Virtue is the mature character of the Lord. That's how I try to interpret it. It's a word that is kind of difficult to explain. So this is how I would describe it. The mature character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only he has given us faith, he has given us the mature character of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us knowledge. Knowledge doesn't mean the knowledge of this world. Knowledge refers to the knowing of God, knowing the knowledge of Christ, which we will expand on later on, okay? Self-control. What is self-control? The way I interpret self-control is, remember the Lord said, whosoever follow me has to deny himself. Deny yourself and follow me. This self-control is deny yourself. How the Lord deny himself? We have to do the same. You know, when he prayed to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, how did he pray? He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. That is self-control. No longer have self in yourself. Father, it's not my will, but your will be done. That's what we're talking about. Perseverance. Perseverance. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he did not come to this world for a day or two. He came to this world for 33 long years. How did the Son of God endure all this? Without perseverance, there's nothing that can explain it. It is his perseverance. You know, he persevered not only because people rejected him, people opposed him, even his disciples did not understand him. At the end, when he was crucified, his disciples all left him. He has to persevere in order to accomplish the will of the Lord, the will of the Father. Brothers and sisters, that's what perseverance is all about. To perseverance, godliness, the image of the Lord, God's image be revealed
in you and me, just like God's image revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Godliness then add to it brotherly kindness, how he loved his disciples. You know, if it, you and me and your and the people that work for you are like those 12 disciples, they will be fired long ago. They will be fired long ago. You know, but the Lord has so much brotherly kindness that he endured his 12 disciples. You know, lastly, love. I think we can all appreciate how much the Lord loved us. He gave himself on the cross, not because he'd done anything wrong, but he gave himself up because of you and me, because of our sin. He loved us so much. So when we talk about these 8 things, brother and sister, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, self-perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, these are 8 things. The reason why I call them the 8 things is in verse 8. If you read within the context of this passage, verse 8, it says, "For if these things are yours," so these things, I believe it refers to the 8 things referred to in verses 5, 6, and 7, right? So the Bible call them the 8 things. So if all these 8 things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So these are the 8 things that we need to abound. That means we should have them all. Okay, now let me bring you back to another verse. Now verse 8 says, "For if these things are yours and abound," right? Now going back to verse 3 says, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Here we refer to all things that pertain to life and godliness. Would the all things refer in verse 3 the same thing that was referred to in verse 8? If they were talking about the same things, then it is amazing that if you substitute the all things in verse 3 with the 8 things in verses 5 to 7, that will make a lot of sense then, right? But it says, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." In other words, God has given to us faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. All these things pertain to life and godliness. And all these things God has already given to us. Now, if that is how we should interpret this passage, then all these things are given to us already. It is a matter of how we experience them. It is not something that we have to toil in order to gain. No, they have been given to us already. Can you imagine how great this salvation is? Salvation is not trying to make us work and work and work. No. Salvation means that God has given all these ingredients to us, all these things to us, so that we can just use them, then we can experience the fullness of this life and godliness. Brother and sister, isn't that wonderful? A lot of things that, being a Christian is so miserable. A lot of do's and don'ts. No, if you read this carefully, you see that God has given all these things to us already. It's just experience them. Brother and sister, how much easier can it get? How much easier can it get? This is all accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he accomplishes with his divine power, with his glory and his virtue, and his righteousness. He has accomplished all this to us. It's not you and me trying to labor every day, trying to accomplish something. No. It's all given to us already. Praise the Lord. You know, so often we think God is so mean to us. He holds back all these blessings. You know, hold back all this present to us.
No, if you read this passage carefully, it has all accomplished, all given to us freely. It's up to us to experience it, to enjoy it, and get the full benefit of these blessings. Brother and sister, there's no easier thing than that. It's all given to you, just experience it. Brother and sister, this is, you know, recently I've been thinking about this, you know, God's blessing to Christians, God's blessing to His children. You know, there's no reason why we cannot be a victorious child of God. Because all this has already been accomplished. The Lord said, come and claim it. Come and claim it. It's all yours. This is wonderful, brother and sister. The more I ponder on it, the more I have to bow and worship God. Because on one hand, we know that this is wonderful blessing that God has given to us. On the other hand, we realize that we are just small people made of dust. And we were sinful people. And God changed us so much. God has forgiven all our sins and iniquities. And God has given us so rich a blessing that there's no reason why we cannot live a wonderful and victorious eternal life and godliness. Brothers and sisters, not only that, there's another phrase in this passage which really is important to us. And so often we kind of bypass it without paying attention to it. Verse 8 is important. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me change the wording a little bit to contrast what the Lord actually said here, okay? Let me contrast it. Change a little bit, and you see the contrast, okay? For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in preaching the gospel, in saving lost souls, in expanding the church, growing the church, in the effectiveness of your service. Is that what the Lord says in here? No. He says, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So often we think about, oh, if we all do all this, we'll be very powerful. We will be doing wonderful, mighty work for the Lord. But no, he says, if you have all this, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ so important? It kind of the result of having all these wonderful things, all these wonderful blessings. All this wonderful experience of eternal life and godliness leads to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have to ask ourselves, why is this knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ so important? Before I explain to you what it meant by the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, let me read to you a testimony of Paul himself, how he tells us his view on the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Let's see how he described his own testimony. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, okay? Philippians chapter 3, brothers and sisters. That's Paul's own testimony, okay? A very short verse. Chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. But indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Here Paul's testimony is, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Here, brother and sister, Paul is putting two things in his balance here. One side of the balance is all things,
On the other side of the balance is the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. When he put the two things in the balance, he said, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, is he insane? The knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ versus the value of all things. He said, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Is there something wrong here? Further, he said, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. How do we rationalize this? How do we rationalize it? All things are so real, so tangible, including his work, his career, his future. That's his testimony. He said, I put away my career, my future, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That's his testimony. Brother and sister, no different than what Peter was saying to us. Then we have to ask ourselves this question. We have to ask ourselves this question very genuinely. What is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? How come Paul can give up everything for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord? Am I missing something? Am I missing something? How come I don't see? How come I don't see the value of the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord versus the value of my career, my future, all things of this world? How come? I think this is very important. On the other hand, the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord can be put aside. Am I missing something? That is what we have to ask ourselves. Are we missing something? Since we are here in Philippians, let's turn the page to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, brother and sister, are we missing something here? Verse 19 it says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness dwell. In him refer to in Christ, if you read the context, okay? For it pleased the Father that in Christ Jesus all the fullness should dwell. All the fullness is in Christ Jesus. Do you know that? If you truly know that all the fullness is in Christ Jesus, then you can see why the knowledge of Christ Jesus is so valuable that Paul can give up everything in order to gain the knowledge of Christ Jesus. One more verse. Chapter 2, verse 9. Also very short. Chapter 2, verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him, within the context of this passage, it refers to Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The whole Godhead. The fullness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The fullness of all of this is in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that's what Paul is telling us. Why am I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord? It's because the fullness of God is in Christ Jesus. If I have Christ Jesus, I have the fullness of the Godhead. If I have Christ, I have the fullness of God. If I have the fullness of God, what is the value of all these things in this world? They are nothing compared to the fullness of God. And that's why Paul can give you this his testimony. I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That's why when we get back to 2 Peter, the verse that we just read, verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see the value, you see the treasure that's in Christ Jesus, because in him, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily.
Brother and sister, it is that great, it is that wonderful, and that is what attracts Paul, why he gave up everything to pursue the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Today, it's the same challenge to you and me. You think that the things of this world is real, is very tangible, but the treasure that's in Christ is more real and tangible. And if you truly see the value, you truly see the fullness that's in Christ Jesus, you will be willing to give up everything in order to get this treasure. Brothers and sisters, that's what Peter was trying to tell us. Not only that, he gave us a very important warning in verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness. Brother and sister, don't think that the fullness of Christ is not that valuable. If you don't see this, here it says, you are short-sighted, you are blind. No one wants others to say that they are blind, they are short-sighted. It's very insulting, right? I dare not say that you are short-sighted. I dare not say that you are blind. But the Holy Spirit here says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness. This is a very serious warning, brothers and sisters. We don't want people to say that we are blind, we are short-sighted. But here, the Holy Spirit said, if you lack these things, you are short-sighted. You are blind. If I say you are short-sighted, you are blind, you may say, oh, who is David? No. But if the Holy Spirit said you are short-sighted and you are blind, then it's serious. Brother and sister, so let us not belittle these reminders. Peter said, I remind and remind and remind you. Finally, in verse 11, get back to the very first verse that we mentioned in the beginning. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, these blessings are eternal. They are not just for today. They are eternal. Because the kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is an eternal kingdom. Brother and sister, our time in this world is not eternal. It's limited. We'll be here for 70 years, 80 years, maybe 90 years. One day we will be gone. All these things that we work so hard for, they will disappear. We cannot bring them into eternity. We cannot bring them into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. One day, you and me will enter into this eternal kingdom. How do we enter this eternal kingdom? Do we enter in a very poor manner? Or do we enter in a very abundant manner? Brother and sister, here it says, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. In other words, when we enter into this eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will be entering this kingdom in richness. We will be entering this kingdom in abundance. We don't just drag our feet and just barely able to make it to the gate. No, we enter into this everlasting kingdom abundantly. Brother and sister, how can we do that? It is up to us today how we experience this abundance. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John, I come to give life and give abundantly. The life that we receive today is not just a barely everlasting life. It is an abundant everlasting life. You know, God gave us a rich life. So that's why, brother and sister, the message I want to leave with you this morning is, God has a purpose for you and me. His purpose is that an entrance will be supplied to us abundantly to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When He gives us all these blessings, when He provided us with this abundant entrance, He did it by His divine power. He did it by His holiness, by His glory, by His virtue, and by His righteousness. He accomplishes with a lot of effort. It is not just something that's casual. No. Brother and sister, this is a great and mighty blessing that God has given us. You know, sometimes when we share the gospel, we try to persuade people to believe in the Lord. Surely, when people were blind, we need to try our best to explain to them how much the Lord loved them. But now, brother and sister, we all received His salvation. But the pity is we don't understand fully this salvation, the greatness of this salvation. We always thought that, oh, our sins are forgiven, one day we'll go to heaven, that's it. No, it's a lot more than this. If that is the only thing that is accomplished through salvation, I'm not too sure if the Lord has to die on the cross. Really, the Lord died on the cross is no small matter. He died on the cross, not only accomplished salvation, not only bear our sins on His shoulder, but He died and He resurrected. If you read the book of Revelation, you will see the glory of this resurrection. Not only He ascended to heaven, He ascended all the way to the throne of God. And He was given all the glory and all the power. God made Him, God made Him Lord over all things. That's the glory God has received when He reached the throne in heaven. And He received the Holy Spirit, and He poured down the Holy Spirit to us. And not only that, He received the scroll from the hand of the Father. The scroll is very rich. The scroll, many people have different interpretations of the scroll, but the scroll refer to, at the very minimum, how the eternal purpose of God unfolding. This is the scroll. That's why it has to be opened seal by seal, because the eternal purpose of God is unfolding. Even up to today, it's still unfolding. And it's, when it's finally unfolded, the tabernacle of God dwells among men. And this is a very glorious picture. If you read chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation, you see that when the eternal purpose of God is accomplished, that glory is so magnificent. It's beyond word, beyond word. Brother and sister, my burden today is less make an effort to understand the fullness of Christ, the fullness of Jesus Christ. If all these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul's testimony reminded us how valuable, how important, how glorious the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord is so important. And he used this description: the excellence of the knowledge of the Savior the excellence of the knowledge of this of Christ Jesus our Lord. That's his wording. Okay, brothers and sisters, this is so important to us. I just hope that this will sing into our heart. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for giving us such wonderful blessings. So often we don't fully understand what you have accomplished in us, and we tend to belittle it. But Father, help us to understand your heart. Father, help us to appreciate all that you have accomplished in us. Lord, help us to bow and worship you. Help us to have a desire to live up the fullness of this life that you have given us, the glory and the godliness that you have given us. Father, we pray that make this word a reality in our daily life. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.